I'd ask today if we'd have the scriptures up there. Today's message is God's sustaining grace for us. Father, just open up our eyes and our hearts that we may see the reality of what you want us to know. Help us to grow into that. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for making everything work out for us. That's good. We ask you to bless your people, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it says, so be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. We just heard that from Pastor Dan. So keep a firm grip of the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans that they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He has the last word. Yes, he does. I have said to you, and I want to challenge you, to begin to stop looking at your circumstances and begin to listen to the Word of God in such a way that it will promote grace in your life. He is our Father, and God looks at us as His children. But a lot of times we forget that we're children. I do. I don't know about you, but I do. Well, one thing I don't do is I don't forget who He is, and I go to Him not only in good times, but especially the bad times. A lot of us are still trying to figure this out in such a way that we would grab a hold of some truth to make sense of our lives. We can't understand why our lives are the way they are and why God would allow these things to be manifested in our lives. But God says to us to humble ourselves and seek His help. Seek His help all the time, not just when things are going bad, and forget about Him when things are going great. That's a key that I want to impart to you, is to be mindful of God at all times. Many times we forget this because we feel that we have to solve this problem that we're facing. Whether in our case, when years ago it was the tax issues, and God helped us. My four little family got together, we knelt before God and asked for His help, and 3 years later, God had brought an end to what we were suffering at that time. I'm saying this to give you an example of what humility is. The world tells us that humility consists of knowing oneself, accepting oneself, giving oneself to others, and yet this is not enough. This is what God is opposed to. You see, we died on the cross with Jesus. And so what He is really saying, and I want to explain to you a little bit about humility, according to God. God's humility is We need to be like children and lower ourselves and not think of ourselves. That's true biblical humility. If we can begin to start to get that truth, God expands upon that. In lowering oneself, we're being like a child. Because kids, and I've observed my grandson, I've learned so much from my grandson that it brings me such joy. I watch my granddaughter and him interact together in such a way that both are ministering to each other out of their childlikeness to help them. And they don't even realize it, that God's using them. And that's what we want to do. If we humble ourselves, we are now taking the position of a child. We need to cultivate this heart of a child. A child knows that he's a child. He acts like a child. He can only think as a child. And yet the Lord loves this child, right or wrong. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And we have to stop thinking about the pressures of life and be so enthralled with God that it doesn't matter, because kids are oblivious to our circumstances. Kids are oblivious to what's going on. All they know is what they know. And really the big thing that they want is attention. I learned years ago that I had said to my son, he was 8 years old, and I said to him, I had just recently come to Christ, and I was doing a boatload of repentance. And I said to him, I said, if I gave you $50, would you go into the arcade or what would you do with the 50? He says, Dad, I don't want your money. I just want you. And that crushes me, because as a parent, you want to provide for your kids. And what I saw was the provision that I was providing for my son was not the thing that he wanted. And the things that God wants, we kind of fluff off a little bit. We forget what's going on around us. But God emphasizes us that he loves us, even when we act like adults. Really, think about it. When your kids are lovable and you give them all the attention that they could want. Yeah, and they need that affirmation. But think of it when our kids start growing up, start making decisions, and they're only 8 years old. They're not so lovable, because they go against what we want for them, right? Now let's take it into God's atmosphere. When we're acting childlike, God's pouring out his love on us. He's given us all his attention. And he provides. In spite of what we're facing, we got daddy's attention. But when we start making decisions on our own, how do you think God responds? All of us have made decisions on our own. All of us. And let's be honest. They didn't quite turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out. And Daddy was standing there, waiting for us to come to him. That doesn't negate his love. That doesn't negate what he wants for us. He's just waiting for us to be the children that he created us to be. Because he wants to give all his attention to us all the time. And that only happens when we begin to act childlike. When we have attitudes that are adult, what does that look like? We have attitudes like adults. We even behave like adults. And when we don't have control, we misbehave and become childish, not childlike. And yet God is still there. He still loves us. And he'll let us have our tantrums. It doesn't sway him. He's there for us. What I've learned in Christianity, there are three basic Christian concepts that we need to understand before we can begin to grasp the eternal purposes of God. One is learning to submit to Christ no matter what. And we have difficulty with that. Well, God, I think we should do this. And God says, go ahead. And what we find out doesn't work according to our plans. And then we humble ourselves and ask God to clean up our mind. Two, activating our faith will produce power. There's so little power in the church because there's no faith. There's a lot of knowledge, but there's no faith. Why can I say that? Well, when we're acting like the world and not like the kingdom of God, there's something wrong. Everything is by revelation through the kingdom, and it's activated by our faith. We want power, but we don't want to pay the price for it. But thank God Jesus Christ did. The third is sacrificial service will lead to eternal honor. We're like the rich people. We give out of our abundance. Or we don't give at all. We use what God has given to us as though that was something. But in God's eyes, that was a gift given to us individually, whether it's in the arts, whether it's in prophesying, whether it's musically. God gave us those things. And we say we're going to use these things to bless others. That's not sacrifice, according to God. Many a Christian believes in spiritual warfare. We all do, right? We believe there's good and there's evil spirits. Spiritual warfare begins when we conquer the evil desires of our flesh to be brought into obedience to Jesus Christ. That is true spiritual warfare. A lot of us have a misconception. A lot of us are running to hear what this person is saying or what that person is saying, but we're never stopping to hear what God says. Spiritually, we give in to our flesh. I like that chocolate cupcake, so I'm going to have it. Don't we feel that way? A sense of entitlement? When really, God is saying, you know, you could take off a few pounds. Here, I'm going to give you the desire not to eat that chocolate. But we give in to that desire to eat that chocolate. Because chocolate is good. And then later we go back to repent to God because we are disobedient to the Holy Spirit. Look at things that you're doing in disobedience to God. The purpose of your existence and my existence is more than just us coming here Sunday, me preaching a word, and we all go home, and we watch the Eagles win. Ken receives that. I'm prophesying that. I'm prophesying. God didn't give it to me. So it's susceptible to conditions. As I said, learning to submit to Jesus Christ is the ultimate spiritual warfare because Satan attacks us through our flesh. He tempts us. Oh, I could never do that, Pastor, you know. I'm so laid up with pain. I don't have this or I can't do that. Do we have the riches in Christ Jesus or don't we? I constantly correct people in their, well, I don't have this. You may not have it physically, but you're rich beyond measure in Christ Jesus. What has to happen is we have to change the way we think in order to speak life. And only God can do that. The devil wants to run around. We're told that he runs around as a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour, or better yet, seeing who he can trip up to sin. Because as we sin, we build up that wall between ourselves and God. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I was inquisitive about this. Your inquisitiveness is going to separate you from God. If God hasn't revealed it to you, you don't need to know about it. It's taken a long time for me because I'm very inquisitive. I want to know things. And I've had to learn these things. And don't think that where we're at presently, we're the only ones who make decisions and suffer the consequences of those things, because all over the world, people are doing the same thing. I haven't even got to my text. Today, we'll go to our text. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. I like to read from the New Living Translation. It says, in his kindness or his grace, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. God has an intent in mind that we still need revelation. And that revelation is he wants to share his glory with us. That is Shekinah. I saw a commercial the other day and I was really taken back by this. There's these two people, they're at the gas pumps of a Shell gas station. And they're talking about this gas card, that once you get this gas card, this aura comes on you. And this person puts these sunglasses on to give this card to this individual so that the glory of this card can resonate with them. I saw it on TV. It must be true, right? No. TV. The fact that the world is trying to deceive us is nothing new. Their tactics are the same thing over and over for every generation to deceive us in understanding that you already possess the glory. Not only are we walking in God's glory right now, but His glory is within you. And we forget this. We forget because we're instantaneous people. Psalm 73 says, I was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on the earth. That speaks of me. As I continue to walk with Jesus Christ and learn Him about Him and what He is, He supplies me everything that I need that's inside me. And in my rebelliousness, I must be like a dumb ox or wild animal or a jackass when I come and make decisions that I feel is good for me. And not only do I feel that it's good for me, I will tell you it's good for me to convince you to do likewise. And God, in His loving kindness, He takes my hand, takes your hand, and He leads us away from that corrupt kind of thinking to show us we're more than animals. Which leads me to say, we are not descended from chimpanzees or any kind of ape. We were created by God. And we're created in His image, not in some monkey's image. John 17, 22 and 24 says, the same glory that you gave me so that I may be one, so that we may be one as we are one. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me before the world began. Not only is it God's desire, it is His Son's desire to witness this glory. The apostles saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration and were awestruck. And Peter, because he was very impetuous, wanted to build three tabernacles there. The emphasis here is that God is desirous for us to be with Him and to share in His glory. And part of His glory helps us to mature in understanding who He is compared to who we are. We are not God. We are God-like. In a sense that the image of Jesus Christ, which is within us, wants to come out of us. Our physical realm, we're created in such a way that we look like our Father. We look like Him, we have a spirit like Him, and we have a soul like Him. In Romans 30, or 8:30 says, and having chosen them, He called them to Him, and having called them, He gave them right standing, or righteousness, with Him. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Because we are positioned in Jesus Christ, we already have this glory. This glory is not only contained within us, we stand in it 24/7. Well, I don't see where you get that, Pastor. Read this. God can't lie. Now, this may be challenging your thinking, and that's what we're going to do this year, is challenge your thinking so that your thinking changes, you change, all to the glory of God. God wants us to be with Him. Did He not say, where I am, you will be with me also? In my Father's house, there are many houses. It's a promise. In humbling ourselves before God really means we want to do His will, not ours. But we spend an awful lot of time trying to make Him capitulate. We're like that spoiled little kid who just has to have that taffy. And then when that child doesn't get the taffy, what are we to expect of that child but a temper tantrum? I've known people for a long time that everything's going well until you have to conform to God's will. Then there's temper tantrums. There's all kinds of words being spoken. Their actions are very childish. And what I found is God's not impressed. He'll let us have our tantrums. And the object is He wants us, and He wants us on His terms. And He's already done that for everyone who's at the cross, because it's His terms. We are destined for eternity. And God's purpose in this is for us to understand He's working in our lives to prepare us for eternity. And if He should return before then, what a sad day for a lot of make-believers. We already know the heathen are going to go to hell because they don't want Christ. They will do everything that they can to cause us duress. They will say anything just because they hate Jesus and they don't know the truth. We need to learn to do His will. And in understanding the assistance that God is demanding for us, we have to realize that the situations that we find ourselves in today are only temporary. Only temporary. But we think that it's going to consume our lives. Everything is ruined. Everything doesn't match up. If God has the last word, what are we so consumed about? He promises to restore and support and strengthen us while we go through the things that we're dealing with. He promises that, and yet we forget that He has promised us that. Everything is temporary. And in the end, God will put us on a firm foundation. And that firm foundation is Jesus Christ. I was talking with an individual this week, and he was telling me that he was in Jesus Christ. But I saw a whole lot of stuff that he was doing that was out of Christ. And so I asked him, I said, are you having an out-of-body experience? And he says, what are you talking about? I said, well, first of all, you're telling me what you're doing. You haven't told me anything of what God's doing. And I said, on top of that, you're telling me I did this. I can do that. I can all kinds of stuff. I said, and here's a thought for you guys, because I'm going to challenge this. Are you in Jesus Christ? And do not answer, because the thought hasn't come yet. To be in Jesus Christ means our hope, our life, our identity, everything that we hold dear is not in Jesus Christ. For He is our identity. He is our hope. He is who moves us to do the things that we want to do, to accomplish His will. If you have any of your self-life, I question where you're at in the body of Christ. Just a thought. Suffering, as far as I understand, comes from two venues, maybe more. We suffer in things of life because life throws these things at us and we feel that we have to make decisions to correct this situation. And we do have to address certain situations in our life. But ultimately, if we humble ourselves, we go to Daddy, Daddy will take care of it. Because ultimately, He's working out His good pleasures in your life to accomplish His will. May not seem like it's a whole lot of fun, but that's the truth. And when we're so busy doing what we want, we don't have time to hear what Daddy wants. The other thing that we suffer is the consequences of when God starts working in our lives. We tend to rebel against that. We're in a comfort zone, you know. I can medicate myself and divorce myself from the realities of what life is tossing at me because I don't want to come out of the comfort zone. God says, I want you to come out of the comfort zone and walk with me. And while you're walking with me, I'm going to take care of all these things. You need healing? I'm your healing. You need finances? Give. Do you need to see more of the kingdom? Shut your eyes and begin to focus on Christ. Because we're not going to see the kingdom with our physical eyes. We're going to see it with our spirit man's eyes. He wants us to understand the process that we're going through is called sanctification. We call it discipline. God is trying to discipline His children way for what reason? To prepare us for eternity. To prepare us for the eternal kingdom that will eventually be established on a new heaven and a new earth, not this sin-ridden planet. That doesn't mean that we take out our rapture cards and I'm going to do this until Jesus comes. No, you're going to be here as long as it takes to first bend your knee to Jesus and then begin to allow Him to work in your life. Hebrews 12, 1 through 11 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Each one of us has a race. The funny thing is we're trying to run somebody else's race. God says, no, run your race. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor at the right side of God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You ever feel like giving up? I have. It's okay to say we have. After all, you're not giving your lives to the struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that Christ is treating you as his own children. We have heard of a child who has never, who has ever heard of a child who has never been disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his child at all. Think about that. You come to Christ and everything's hunky-dory. Are you God's kid? Since we respect our earthly fathers who discipline us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. I can attest to this scripture because I'm living the end result of God's discipline. And he's not done with me. I'm just reaping the benefits of being disciplined by him. How about you? Do you still want your way? Do you still want what you want more than what God wants to impart to you? It's a hard thing to make a decision. It's hard because you think, I thought that the decision I was making was the best decision. But when God entered in, he gave me wisdom and revelation and practical helps in which set my feet on the road to success. I used to be a person worried about a lot of things. I had to take Nexium because there was such an acid reflux caused by my nervousness. People on the outside didn't know that because everything was internal in that. I was medicating myself from the realities of allowing God to take over my life. And when I came to this revelation, God set me on a new path that I could look at these scenarios and stuff and understand that he's working it out. I don't have to worry about it. My old Bible is a testament of my frustration with God. And he just crossed his arms and says, you done yet? We need to understand that God wants to work for our good, but we have to let him do it. It takes faith. I'm fortunate. I had a brother and a sister that was praying for my salvation. And it took 30 years for me to get saved. I was 30 years old when I got saved. Are you about ready to give up on that loved one that God died for? Just so you can have what you want? I was no prize to Irene. And little did I know that God had honored her request when she said, God, when I get married, I want to have a godly man. She didn't get a godly man. She got a man of God instead. And God taught me. He showed me. He taught me. Wasn't always easy. I had to put things away. I had to get rid of stuff. If I wanted to maintain my position in Jesus Christ, I had to cast off that sin that so easily tripped me up. I put it in today's vernacular. There's nothing in me that Satan can tempt me with because I'm in Jesus Christ. I don't exist. He does. And if you're inclined, it is He who is speaking to you today. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's in me. What is restoration? Restoration is taking our present condition and placing it in mint condition. Your condition, where you are presently, the reality of it is God has taken you out and restored you. You are a finished product. And you will function the way He has designed you. It's going to take some suffering, you know. God's going to discipline you. God's going to do things. And it's not for naught, because His eternal purpose is not only for us to be with Him, but to share in His dominion. His ultimate purpose is dominion. But if we haven't taken dominion over our flesh, we have a whole lot to learn. That is His end game. Not only to share His glory with us, but dominion in His kingdom. We're His kids. 1 Corinthians says it like this. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will all not die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when that trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortality will take on immortality. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this, the scripture, will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory." The transformation that God wants to do has to come with us being childlike. Do you believe that God wants this? Do you believe that this is His plan and His purpose for you and for me? This is yes. This is no. Everything in God is yea and amen. Everything. But this transformation, when Jesus comes, those of us who are going through this process of sanctification will instantaneously be transformed. Think about this. Your corrupt body is going to be incorruptible. My hair will be restored. I'm feeling you, sis. All those things that God had originally intended for us, we will see. We will experience. That's our hope. That's the good news of the gospel. But we have to be willing to let God be God in our lives, like the birds that run around and are carefree. Really. He promises to strengthen us. What this word means is God promises to give us courage no matter what happens. When things are going wrong and we can't go on, or we feel like giving up, All we have to do is ask, God, I need your strength. And guess what happens? He gives us his strength because we can endure for another day. And we keep asking. And soon as we ask, he gives. And we have to believe this. There's been many, many times that Satan has come against me to want me to give up. But I always come across that scripture where it said that Jesus, despite the cross, looked at future to see sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, coming to him in Jesus Christ. And so I lasted another day. That's my hope. Not only my hope to be in heaven, but my hope to see you in heaven too. See all those who were ornery, no good type of people who were frustrating us to no end, who were doing things that would cause us to spit on a dime, spit wooden nickels, whatever. But because we stayed in God's will, they made it to heaven. You see, it's no longer about us. It's about what Christ wants to do in our lives. We have to realize God is in control. No matter what, we're not. The reality and the truth is, you're out of control. You really don't want God to work in your life because you're satisfied with just the milquetoast of reality. Ask God to make you dissatisfied. I've been walking with God for 33 years, and I'm more dissatisfied today than what I was when I first got saved. Why? There's so much to learn about God and to experience in God. I'm not satisfied in just having what he's given to me. I want all of it. And he's given me all, but it's going to take time to work that out in my life, your life. When we're tempted to do things because we're inquisitive or we're in a pressure cooker, we're stressed out like nobody's business. And I'll tell you, I had the privilege of working for a utility, but everything I did could kill people. How would you like that stress? Praise God. Didn't happen. But I had that stress. Raising a family of five boys. It's stressful. I'm not making light of it. I admire that. It takes a lot. But God will continue to give you grace for each day. We have to acknowledge this fact, that God's purposes will be accomplished in our lives and his promises fulfilled to meet our needs to accomplish his will. God, I need a new job. That's if it's his will, he'll supply it. You don't have to ask for it. He knows about it. But what are you doing to fulfill his will? And I want to sink in just a little bit. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for him. And when we came to him, the first right decision that we made was we went to the cross. After that, it's not we get saved and we still do what we want. We get saved to do what he wants, which is an honor and a privilege. And things that we're going through, whether good or bad, God will work it out for our good. He will use everything that's going on in our lives. It may look bleak right now, but God promises us that He's going to work it out. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. He's busy straightening out our messed up lives. We're here only for a short time. Romans 8:18 says, "That's why I don't think that there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times." The coming good times is when we check out of Hotel 6 and go on to glory. That's what he's talking about. The glory that God wants to reveal to us, not only in us, but share in with him, is awesome. Have you ever just thought about heaven and how glorious it is? And then your brain shuts down like mine does. I can only go so far. But what I've witnessed and what has been revealed to me is so awesome that I feel like Paul. I would rather be with Christ than here, but you have need of me. I wish you didn't have any needs so I could be with Christ. So you could be with Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, "For God has wanted them to know the riches and the glory of Christ is in you, Gentiles." You guys. "And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the hope of sharing in his glory." Christ in you. Get it in your spirit. Christ dwells in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives. When he tells us to give the last $5 that's in our pocket to a person who is in need, how are we going to respond? Are you going to respond like I did? Just walk past that person, get my stuff, and then go out, and then be convicted by the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to yield and give that $5 to that person? God makes good. He says, the promise is, you may lend to the poor, but God will repay. He'll supply. My Bible says he'll supply all my needs in Christ Jesus. Our Father is ready, willing, and able to help us. Are you ready to humble yourself and give him the opportunity to prove himself strong and viable? When we surrender our lives, which he paid for, your life is not yours. It's his. But when we humble ourselves and ask Dad to straighten us out, to heal us of this thing, to help us make it through the day, not tomorrow, because tomorrow, he said, has enough suffering for itself. And we can't change the past, but we can start today to walk with Jesus. When we do that, we gain eternity. It's a deposit that's put in us. We gain it. And we should cultivate it. We should constantly look at eternity. We should take our eyes off our situations and begin to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence our help comes from. Maybe you've heard me say this. We've got to stop becoming or being problem fixated and become God fixated. Because he is greater than anything that we're facing or will face, because he's God. I'd ask you to stand up if you can. As I said, I want to challenge your thinking. Where we're going, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to like it. But it's for your good. It's for the good of the body. It's good for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. This isn't a religious activity. This is our reality. Think about this. We're in relationship with the most powerful being that we know, who created the universe as we know it. And he's our Father. He wants to help us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to make Jesus Christ full of us. When I talk about the exchange of our lives, it happened at the cross, but the reality of it is he's working this out in our lives. It has nothing to do with our feelings. It has nothing to do with our situations or circumstances. It has everything to do with, are you going to initiate your faith just enough to let God enter in? This is why Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open that door, he'll enter in. And he will straighten out your life like he straightened out my life. And don't pray for an instantaneous change, because that means Jesus has come, and I don't want to miss his coming. It's up to you. We need to communicate accurately to those who have a form of religion, to those who hate God. We need to communicate to our flesh. It no longer controls us. That our obedience to Jesus Christ takes more precedent today than it did yesterday. Three basics. Submission. Service. And sacrifice. All this with the initiation of our faith. Father, I've given them your word. I know you want us to behold you in all your glory. Not just when we get to heaven with you, but today, every day. Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand of your Holy Spirit. Take every wickedness that consumes our life and cause dissatisfaction with it, so that we may maintain our position in Jesus Christ, the righteous. Cleanse us in your blood, Father. Forgive us for not really knowing the truth. Forgive us for watering down your gospel to make it conform to our lives, when in reality we are to conform to yours. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for the challenge to get our thinking right. And when that is corrected, you will open up our eyes to see your glory, to behold you as you are, and be enthralled by your love. Bless your people as they go today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.